Chapter 26 Charu. Leroy and Miranda both sweltered in the noonday blaze. Their journey from the Levant airport, as if on rays of sun, landed them close to Charu's edge. In those first moments, for as far as they could scan in any direction, they received no clues about where they should head. They'd come with sketchy background information. Barren and rocky? Yes, they had to agree with that. Charu's Xanthian outpost and Dwarnstyle's ancient ruins had been conveyed to them, yet from their vantage those features were not only hidden, but seemed like fiction. They decided to find the kindest route to the top, where it might be possible to gain a better view. But first, at Miranda's urging, they headed for a tidal pool, just visible to them at the lowest edge of Charu's eastern rim. The drop-off was sheer and too high up to reach the sea, but a depression caught and held an inviting bath. "It's definitely as warm as body temperature," Miranda had said after removing boots and socks to test with her toes. "But wet is wet, and oh my gosh, I had no idea we'd be climbing more rocks in blazing sun." She had proceeded to set her gear down next to Leroy and then immerse herself in the deepest part of the pool, something over a foot of water, giggling and turning first one way, then the other, until she was soaked. She sat up and splashed water onto her hair and face. "My love, I thought that I'd retired from long hot climbs in rocky places. Here, it's your turn."
"No thanks, Em. You know me, I like heat. But as for you and the one you carry, we might find a shady place for you to wait this out."
"By all that's holy, we're here for a higher purpose than comfort. Let's go onward. Pay no attention to my fretting. It must be hormonal."
Not only had they failed throughout the afternoon to locate Tashami Roku or her parents, they had not discovered any signs of intelligent life so far on Charu. Lacking guidance from any sources, Miranda and Leroy scouted around, only to encounter crevices, crags, and animal lairs. To their relief, they found a small trickling cataract and climbed to trace it up to a bubbling spring coming right out of a cleft. Their water supply had concerned them, for what they'd brought along and carried was a cumbersome part of their load, yet it was all they had. And just as fortunately, not far away from the spring, they happened on an indentation or shallow cave where they stashed their packs. They made another long foray, finding no evidence of human presence, or even any vegetation except for an occasional scraggly stunted tree. When at last they crested the high ridge, their greatest struggle of the day, they looked down and across a great bowl made up largely of variegated stone plains, interspersed with terraced areas where rocky patches had disintegrated into footholds for Charu's hardier plant life. Miranda's sight fastened upon a glistening jewel at the bowl's lowest point, a small lake nearly perfect in its round shape and smooth surface that reflected and enhanced the sky's depth in its own. She glanced at Leroy, whose gaze was directed upward toward spires that loomed above them along the ridge.
"Judging from the sun's position," Leroy said, "I think we had better get back to our packs and call it our camp for now. What do you think?"
Miranda looked back down and said, "A feeling's been growing about this place. It's so Zamoran, so different from Earth. You know,
Leroy, like the way Mount Shasta looms alone, so otherworldly in its setting, now we're connecting them in a sense.
Leroy touched her shoulder, bringing her back to his question.
Yes, we can hardly strike out now in any direction. Let's make camp in the cave.
Leroy.
Miranda merely whispered, but in their enclosure the sound was enough to wake him.
Okay, I'll turn again.
No, look beyond our heads.
Her whisper faded into expelled breath. Leroy lifted his head. He looked first at Miranda, propped there on one forearm, and then raised up higher to follow her gaze. An undercurrent of thought suggested that he saw her more easily than he should in the darkness. At first, all he could make out was a vertical splash of deep blue light on the stone surface right beyond them. He spun his head around to look out at the dark sky splattered with stars.
Is it something from the night sky?
He pulled his hand up from his sleeping roll and waved it up and down.
No.
I've seen this before.
Miranda barely whispered, yet Leroy not only heard her, but understood much more.
The elves? Here?
Why? Remember earlier? The strong feeling of connection between Sharu and Mount Shasta?
They fell into silence, continuing to stare at the phenomenon that, although nearly within arm's reach, appeared distant. Miranda raised herself up, shrugged off her covers, and drew her knees to her chest. Leroy watched her crawl heedless of knees on stone, a few inches toward the light. He shifted his vision and squinted, seeing that the indigo light issued through a split in the stone.
That opening wasn't there before, I'm sure.
Miranda swung her head around and looked back at him.
Come on.
It's impossible. But think, her story about going into the Andean Cavern of the Sun. Her physical density had changed to let her through.
As the realization arose, Leroy's reflexes had impelled him onto his hands and knees right behind her. Again she turned her head and whispered,
"Just in case, hold on to my ankle."
Crawl and hold her ankle too?
Leroy reached out. He wrapped his fingers around Miranda's right ankle while watching her left hand move into the light. Her fingers turned blue, then her entire hand. In the space of one breath, Miranda became fluid and Leroy with her. They passed through the light and found themselves, Miranda's ankle still in Leroy's hand, at the foot of the light source. Inside Sharu.